This morning we continue our series on home improvement, and we're looking at the treasure principle, and it's found in Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 through 21. And Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the treasure principle this morning, and it is Faith Promise Sunday, so I thought we could start out with a little bit of humor to lighten the moment, right? So I heard about these two men who were stranded on a desert island, and one was really negative and the other one was positive. And the negative one was saying, "Listen, I just don't think we're ever going to be rescued, and we really don't have enough food or water, and there's nothing but the ocean out there." And that was day after day, and the positive one just kept being joyful and positive in the moment. And so finally, the negative one turns to the positive one and says, "Listen, I don't understand why you are so positive. There's all these impossibilities to have to be overcome for us to be rescued. Why are you positive?" And the positive, joyful person said, "Well, listen, it's like this. I make over $100,000 every week, and I tithe 10% every week to my church. Surely my pastor will find me." Oh, my. Well, sometimes we do strain some when we think about finances and the church and everything. And it's interesting because we've been talking about, of course, home improvement. And we've been saying, my heart had out, that during this time of the pandemic, and other times as well, I must say, that a lot of folks are doing home improvement projects. And I've seen a lot of yours online, and they're really great. And so people have decided, since they're spending so much more time at home, they ought to do some home improvement projects. And we've seen things in improving people's family rooms with putting in hardwood floors and painting projects. We've seen patios going in, and we even have someone who has actually stripped down their home to the bare bones and studs and is rebuilding the whole thing. And as they're doing that, of course, they're trying to be safe as well, but it's a big investment in their home. It's a big investment in life. And so I'm interested to see what happens. But the interesting thing is that they're telling us is as people, it is a little hot with that, are investing more in their home, they're finding out that they're discovering that they're having a little more joy in their home. They're having a little more joy in their home because they're realizing they need to relax and enjoy that. Now, that's an interesting principle that I'd like you to keep in mind for a moment as we look at this passage of Scripture, because for a lot of churches and a lot of time in my own life, you know, or in any nonprofit organization, the idea of Faith Promise Sunday is that you set a goal, right? And then you challenge everybody to dig deeper and to look at that, and sometimes guilt is used and need is used. And people often point at this Scripture and say, you know, this is where you got to be, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so the idea is that if your heart is right, then you will invest in the right treasure. Now, that's what most of us have thought about this Scripture, right? But back in 2000, a person by the name of Randy Alcorn, he's a Christian writer, which I really like, wrote a book called The Treasure Principle. And he looked at this Scripture and other Scriptures, but this was sort of the center of his Scripture. And he says, you know, that's not what the Scripture says. He says, in fact, we have it exactly opposite, right? The Bible doesn't say, if you've got your heart right, then you're going to be doing the treasure thing in the right place. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And what he says, challenge us to do, is if you invest in the right things, then you will discover blessing and joy untold. Now, it's interesting because people often say, well, Jesus didn't talk about money very much. In fact, scholars will tell you that Jesus talked about possessions, including finances, roughly 15% of the time. In fact, Jesus talked more about finances than he did the combined total of heaven and hell. So, something of a challenge. But in this passage and other passages, Jesus challenges people to discover joy by investing in the treasure. And I guess the way you would say that is if you have a lot of your money in the stock market, your sort of joy rises and falls with the market, right? If you're invested in that. If you're investing in your school team, then your joy kind of rises and falls with the football or basketball team. So this week, some of us, you know, the joy level kind of went down with Purdue on the football team. And so the idea is from the financial side, from the treasures of the heart, is if you invest in the church, in the right treasures, then you will discover blessing and joy. So how does that work exactly? Well, I think it's like this. I mean, think of other kinds of levels when we think about the home. Now, as you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, right? So I don't know how many people enjoy Thanksgiving. And I know we're all trying to practice social distancing for Thanksgiving. For us, it's pretty easy because most of our family is elsewhere out of state. So we have a small family around our table. But we invest a lot in sort of the banquet, the table that's out there, don't we? And not just for eating, but we really put a time, and I know a lot of you because you're great cooks out there, in how the turkey looks and the stuffing, some in and out, different kinds of stuffing, and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and all the side salads and cranberries and then all the pies. Some of you are really great people at baking pies. I have a long ways to go in baking pies. But it's great just to see that out there for a moment and you just enjoy it and then you enjoy eating with family and friends. And it isn't just sort of about taking in the food, it's about enjoying it, isn't it? And so what I'd like you to do is to think about this morning as some of the tasty treasures that we have here at church and to think about, is that something that I want to invest in? And you'll find as you invest in those things and think about that, that your joy will be greater. Now when we think about, first of all, as we've come in this morning, we had our praise team playing beautifully, thank you. And they invest a lot of time and energy in that. And so we enjoy investing in our praise team because it blesses people. And now it blesses people not only in our church worship service here, but also online. And it stays online. So people, we find people watch it through the course of the weeks, and sometimes they like it, and they go back and watch other things. And so they're investing in that. For our traditional service, we don't have a choir. We just think that would be too difficult for folks who are more at risk to get together, and they tend to be close together. And so they're on hold on that, but we do have Stephen playing the piano and organ. We do have Brad singing the Lord's Prayer for our communion service, and there's lots of blessings of that music, and we enjoy it over and over again. And then we invest in God's Word, in preaching, and we always talk about applying God's Word, not just listening to it, but applying it, right? And if you're missing that, then you need to challenge yourself to listen more closely to see some of the ways we think about applying. Every week, I think about how do we apply this to our day-to-day life. So if you're missing it, then listen a little more carefully. Remember, listening isn't just passive, it's active. So how well are you listening so that you can apply it when you leave here? And then it's not just that, but we have God's Word talked about in our adult ed Sunday school classes. We have it in our Bible studies, a number of our Bible studies. I resume my pastor's Bible study by Zoom. Don is doing his Sunday school class by hybrid format, right? So it's Zoom and in person. Gary's down and in person. And we're just doing our best, right? And speaking of youth doing our Sunday school, so they are doing both an online version with Terry is doing, but also in person. And I think that there's other kinds of things outside of that. So we think of our fellowship activities. We're a church that loves fellowship activities. And when we think about fellowship, we think about food, don't we? I mean, come on, right? I do. For this church, we love to eat. And so we postpone some of our fellowship dinners. And sometimes, you know, that's a bit of a down. But I look out there and I see other kinds of fellowship going on. I look out at our pavilion so often, and I see our book club out there, and I see families gathering there. We have other churches whose board is meeting out there or having worship services out there. Our youth are enjoying that. And speaking of youth, Terry's doing a great youth program. And so think about that. So maybe some of those are the main dish, the turkey and the dressing and the mashed potatoes, whatever it is for you and some of these side salads. But Terry's got some great youth programs. We're practicing social responsibility during this time. It's been very challenging. But I also look out there and think about what we did for our community, our neighborhood, our greater neighborhood for Trunk or Treat. And folks were worried about how can we do it safely. We really put a lot of time and energy. We had volunteers along Laces for Lisa's Faith and Fitness Trail. And along Lisa's Faith and Fitness Trail, we had different vehicles for trunk or treat, and people put a lot of time in that, and we safely handed out candy for every person so it would be safe, and they used gloves and masks and everything. And we just had tons of people here. And then the candy cane trail is coming up too. So there's lots of great things that we're doing for our neighborhood and our community. Right now, we're not doing our tutoring program, but we plan to start that up when it's socially responsible and it's safe to do that. But there's other kinds of things that we're inviting people into, and I think that's so important. And then there's missions. And I don't know if missions are dessert for you or how they are on your banquet table of missions and ministries of the church, but there's so many great things. I mean, trunk or treat, you can look at it both as kind of a mission and ministry of the church. But I also look at Lisa's Faith and Fitness Trail. We have more people using that and being on our church grounds than ever before around that, and are just enjoying it. People come up to me that I don't even know and say, thank you for doing that for us. And I love that they say, thank you for doing it for us, not for you, right? That's so important. And they're exercising. There'll be more sort of stations for reflection that will be out there. But we did the trunk or treat, the scarecrow trail. We have the candy cane trail coming up and other kinds of things. And I think of Grant's House. And man, if you don't like Grant's House, then I don't know where your heart is, right? And we love Grant, and we love Lisa, we love thinking about them, but our families have invested in touching the community. And of course, Grant's House reaches out to those who are special needs people, who need something extra, and the House family has led us, and so many of us invested in this, and it's such a great way to see that we're touching people's lives each and every day, both in a job and in their social ability and making friends and feeling like this is the home where I belong, and they can go out from there and touch other people's lives. And so that's one of our missions. And I think of other missions that we have. The Growing Hope Globally, which is so fabulous. Gary and Kathy and Clay and Sue have led us in that. Gary and Kathy have generously donated their 10 acres of their land for us and lots of other resources. And we're all invited into that. There are three jars out there with three separate missions projects, and all of them are great. And I have a check that Savannah and I have to later decide which of those three, which are all, it's really a hard decision because they're all so great, which we're going to drop in, right? So, because that's kind of a ways of voting. And so they're all sort of equally delicious. They're like three desserts that you can't decide, okay, which one is the best here? And I just know that whatever one we decide is going to be great, right? So that's sort of a dessert maybe, but it's not for the people in a third world that we're funding, right? Because they are desperately in need. And we're so proud of the every year what happens there, because this year we were featured on the back of the annual report, which was fabulous there too. And so that is part of who we are as a family of faith. It's part of our treasure. It's part of our tasty treats that are out there. We think of church's wider mission. We think of one great hour sharing. That's one Sunday a year where we say, okay, we're going to do something, and it touches people's lives throughout the year, and sometimes something happens, and we invest again in that. So we have folks that are dealing with wildfires out in California. We have folks who are dealing with, I lost count of a number of hurricanes that have hit the Gulf Coast, but it is just, it is staggering. And to recover from one hurricane, I've been on the scenes of hurricanes shortly after they have made landfall, and know the devastation that's there, but I can only imagine wave after wave and the overwhelming discouragement, and so we can be there and hope and in need. And speaking of being there in need, we're doing the Church World Services emergency packets that are going out. And so those have been piled up, or I've lost track of how many, but there'll be a statement in the East Bar this week. The Seekers and other folks have joined together and put together packets, emergency packets that go for people. And so while we might not rejoice in the devastation of wildfires and hurricanes and what have you, we can rejoice that we're there on the ground, that something that we made here and prayed for here blesses people there. I think about the hospitals right now, and we're not making in-person visits to the hospital. We are making phone calls. We're praying for people, and we have a prayer chain that touches people's lives. We are doing prayer shawls that are being knitted, and we pray over those in our Sunday school classes, and those go to people. And we have a grief support group, and we have so many other missions and ministries. What gives you joy today that you say, you know, that's something that I want to invest in? Jesus didn't say, if your heart's right, go ahead and invest in that. Jesus challenged us. He said, listen, if you will invest in those kinds of things, you will discover blessing and joy, and your heart will be touched in a way that it will never be changed. I challenge us to really think about the treasure principle this morning. This verse that we've read over so much that's really at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. But it's not just that, but I think when we do that, we discover a joy that is untold. Now, here's an interesting parable that's often put alongside that. Jesus once told the parable of this man who was out looking at land, apparently, and just sort of rummaging around, and he discovered a treasure that was buried there. Have you always wanted to discover treasure, right? And whether it's in the sea or in land or whatever. And so he sees that, and he decides what he's going to do is he's going to go and to sell all that he can so that he can buy that piece of property that has the treasure that's on it. And he goes away, and his heart is just so joyful. Now, that's interesting because Jesus is sort of alluding to a number of things in there, but the idea is that when you discover that treasure, you're willing to make sacrifices that you might not otherwise make, but notice the joy in the person's step when they're walking away. And Jesus is also saying that when we're doing that, we are investing in our heavenly home somehow, some way. So we're getting joy right now, but he alludes in this, both a warning and a blessing in this passage, is that if you just are investing in things here on earth that are just on earth, that just, you know, those things that we often think about, and I love home improvement, so don't get me wrong, but Jesus is saying someday it will pass away, or you will pass away, or both, right? That's going to take place. And so it's only a fleeting sort of a thing. But Jesus is saying if you invest in the treasure that is of a heavenly nature, even though mission and ministry is happening right now, that you will be investing in your heavenly home somehow, some way, and also discovering blessing and joy here on earth right now. So it's Faith Promise Sunday. It comes once a year, but it's something that we fill out every year. And I challenge you right now as you're thinking and praying about your life to think about. Now, of course, you know, we don't always segment all those things. We do segment our offerings, and our deacons do a lot of great work, and we do think about, in addition to other blessings, our trustees who are working on the church facilities so hard to make it a blessing to others and the whole campus. And we think about our deacons that are managing the finances, but also discovering which missions we should invest in, because it is this sort of array of like being in a candy store, all these great missions. And elders are looking at the wider vision and how we can minister and do ministry to our congregation and the wider church community and even beyond that to the globe. But as you're thinking about how you'd like to invest in the church, think about the treasures that mean a lot. Maybe think about that Thanksgiving banquet table that's about a week and a half away. What is the main meal there? Of course, you don't want to just feast on turkey, though. I do love turkey and leftovers, but the mashed potatoes and the side dishes, the cranberry sauce. We can't have Thanksgiving in our house without cranberry sauce. And then the desserts. If you're a pie person or what kind of pies, whatever. And think about the great array of missions and ministries that we offer here, not just for us. It's so important to say that our ministry is not just for us in this room or even in our own homes, but to our community and to our country and to our world. And we're striving ever more to touch more and more people's lives. You're invested in all of that. And so I challenge you to think about the half that you'll put here on the cross shortly. The music team is going to come and they're going to play a piece of music where you can fill that out prayerfully. Then I'm going to come up and have a few more words, and then we're going to play some music, and we're all going to come up here and put our faith promise on there. And there's a part you take it home. And I hope you'll put a little smiley face on it or a little treasure box or something, a little heart or, you know, some sunshine colors, and to put that into your heart. And go ahead and challenge God as you invest in the treasures of heaven to allow your heart to open up in a new way, to allow the sunshine of God's blessing and joy to open your heart in a new way. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver." But I would also say that Paul would probably tell us, as we give, we will discover joy and blessing untold, even as Jesus challenged those on the Mount. What would Jesus whisper to you today as you think about your investment, your treasure in God's mission and ministry, in the life and work of Jesus Christ as it continues in our church and the wider community? So wherever you are today, flip that around. in your mind and discover the treasure principle, which is also the principle of joy and blessing. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we reflect on Faith Promise Sunday, we want to take a moment first and think about not what we give, but what you gave and continue to give. For you gave everything to us on the cross. You were willing to come and share your life and your love in a way that gave and kept on giving. And then you gave the most precious thing of all, which was your life on the cross, that we might know your forgiveness and grace and love and mercy. And then you raised to new life, that we would know new life and the promise of eternal life. So help us to follow your example in giving and to discover love and blessing and joy. Help us to invest in these tasty treasures of your banquet table of mission and ministry, and to rediscover the joy of being part of that, not just onlookers, but we really are invested in your work, in your mission and ministry, to love and serve you, and to love and serve our neighbors. And all God's people said, amen.